And I want to welcome you to the I Want to Know More podcast for this week. On the podcast this week, we're going back to 2 Samuel chapter number 20. 2 Samuel chapter number 20 is where we're going to be in today. We're going to begin reading once again at verse number 3. 2 Samuel chapter number 20, verse number 3. The Bible says, "And David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, and put them in ward and fed them, but went not in unto them. So they were shut up until the day of their death, living in widowhood." I was hoping I was done with this last week, but the Lord is not letting me leave this scripture. And if I rehash some things I said last week, well, that's the Lord's will, because it needs to be said over and over again. You know, this time of the year, this Christmas season, we celebrate the virgin birth. We celebrate the idea that a virgin conceived. But we have to remember just how controversial that was when Mary came to Joseph and said, "I am with child, and it's of the Holy Ghost." Do you think Joseph believed her first thing? You know, there's Hollywood actually made a movie about it. They call it The Nativity Story. And it's, even though it gets some details wrong, that's okay. It gives you the overall view and the overall picture of what Mary must have gone through and of her being a pariah, her being, a social outcast because she was expecting out of wedlock. Now, concubinage was practiced at the time of the Roman Empire, and Joseph could have kept Mary as a concubine, but she'd already been betrothed to be a wife. And that's a whole different ballgame than being a concubine. And the laws of concubinage are really complex. How you can have a wife without her being a wife is alien to our ways of doing things these days. It's completely alien to our ways. And that's something that we just don't see much of, or do we? We don't call them concubines anymore, but there's a lot of people who live together. And this is the place that I kind of got right up to the point of it and didn't get into it last week. Last week we talked about how it was God's perfect will that there be one man and one woman. Well, let's go to the next step. Let's go to the next step this week. It's not just one man, one woman. It's one flesh. Now, this is where it gets really, really serious. This is serious business right here. And this is something that a lot of people may get offended about. And, you know, my former pastor, Brother Chris Owen, he made the statement one time from the pulpit, and it stuck with me. He said, "If the preacher steps on your toes, maybe you need to move your feet." You know, I'm just the messenger. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You can, you know, if you don't like what the Bible says, take it up with the Lord. Okay? What the Bible says, the Bible says. Here, David has 10 concubines. The word concubine is used. It's used in many places in the Word of God. And, you know, we talk about the principle of first use, and we find the first two uses of the word concubine are both in the book of Genesis. And so Genesis chapter number 22, Genesis 22, and we're going to begin reading verse number 20. Genesis 22 and 20, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor, Huz his firstborn, and Buz his brother, and Kemuel, the father of Aram, and Kesed, and Hazo, and Pildash, and Jidlaf, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begat Rebekah. These eight Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother. And his concubine, whose name was Reuma, she bare also Teba, and Gaham, and Thahash, and Maacah. All right. That's the first mention of concubine in the Word of God, and it's in the context of childbearing. The next time that concubine is mentioned is a little bit later in the book of Genesis. Genesis 35, verse number 22. And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. We're going to leave that be at that. We've dealt with the sons of Jacob at length a number of years ago. We may again, but not today. The fact of the matter is, the first two times concubines mentioned, it's mentioned in the context of childbearing. In the case of Jacob with Bilhah, Bilhah was given, Bilhah, which was the handmaid of one of his wives, was given so that Jacob could have children. It was all about childbearing, child rearing. And that's something that's very, very important to the ancients. And but here David has these concubines. There's 10 of them. He's already got wives who have borne him children. He has children. What's his excuse? Well, it's not just one man, one woman. The perfect will of God is found in the statement that Adam knew his wife and she conceived. His wife. There's a contract. There's a covenant. There's a commitment. There's a one flesh, one mind experience that's more than the physical. That's what I'm saying. There's more to it than just being together physically. There's a relationship there and a commitment there that Eve was his lifelong partner till death do they part. Now, concubines had many of the same rights as wives, but specifically, they did not have the rights of divorce like wives or inheritance like wives. Abraham ended up, he had concubines, and he gave them gifts, but Isaac was his heir. That's the way it happened with Abraham. And he took these, he took Keturah and after Sarah had already died, and he had several children by Keturah, and he gave them gifts. Let's look that up real quick. Genesis chapter number 25. Genesis chapter number 25. Let's start with verse number 1. Genesis 25:1, then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua, and Jokshan begat Sheba, and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Asherim, and Letushim, and Lemumim. And the sons of Midian, Ephah, and Epher, and Hanoch, and Abida, and Eldaah. All these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. All right. So even though he had children by the concubines, he gave all he had to Isaac. Isaac was his heir. And he gave gifts to the children of the concubines, but they were not considered his heirs. And, you know, there's not a lot of really easy ways of saying these things, but Abraham had the concubines for a reason. And and it wasn't just bearing children. David, same way. But again, the important thing to remember here is that Abraham had concubines. That was very common in the day. And it wasn't frowned upon. But that does not make it God's perfect will. Just because Abraham did it, just because David did it, doesn't make it right. David covered up murder. David covered up adultery. Does that make them right? Some of the rabbis say it does, because they say David did no wrong. Therefore, what David did here was perfectly fine and acceptable. And they blame Bathsheba, and they blame Uriah for his own death. And they don't ascribe any blame to David. And for me, that's just backwards. That's totally backwards. David was not in God's perfect will doing these things. Not even in the slightest was David in God's perfect will. And he had concubines. Now, what's the difference between a concubine and a wife? Mostly legal. It's mostly about the rights of the woman. A concubine did not have the rights that a wife had, legally speaking, to inherit or to get a settlement, a divorce. The way that a concubine was taken was different. A wife, there was a betrothal ahead of time, and it was a much bigger ceremony. But the concubine, the man would just take her in. She was a live-in girlfriend, essentially, living together. These women were living with David. And they had certain rights because of that. It wasn't just they just moved in. In order to do that, there were some legal ramifications, and they had to agree to some things. And then David agreed that he would take care of them, and he did. He put them in ward, even after they had been with Absalom, or rather Absalom had been with them. They didn't have a choice in the matter. Absalom took them. Now, the Bible does not say directly whether these women agreed to Absalom's advances or not. But Absalom advanced, and Absalom took them in the sight of all Israel. And, I mean, that's just wicked. You know, that's just wicked. And it's not God's perfect will to have more than one woman to begin with. A man is supposed to give his life for his wife. That's biblical. That's biblical. That's what the Lord does. The Lord does this. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 and verse number 22, the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands." Not every husband, by the way. Their own husbands. "In everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. All right. A lot of preachers will spend time on the submission of the wife. And yes, a woman is to submit herself to her own husband. Her own husband alone. But the man is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It's intended to be a 100% gift from each side. And concubinage does not satisfy that. Concubinage is, and concubines are there for the convenience and for the physical pleasure, but it's not the one flesh relationship that God intends a husband and wife. Yes, God wants one man, one woman. But that Levite back in the book of Judges that had that concubine, I don't believe that was God's perfect will either. He may have only had one woman, but she was just a concubine and not a wife. Concubines were there, and they did not imply a wife-husband commitment or a wife-husband covenant. And the covenant here is what is really important. The covenant here is a major thing. It's all about the covenant relationship. A wife and a husband, they're partners. They're committed to each other completely. But a concubine is not bound in the same way. Now, David understands something here, though. He understands that if another man goes into his concubines, then that man might try to make a claim on the throne because he's got David's concubine. Now, this happens a little bit later. After David has died, this happens a little bit later with one of David's sons. And it costs that son of David his life. There are issues involved with wives that are not involved with concubines. And it's a legal thing. It's God's perfect will that one man and one woman be joined in holy matrimony, representing the covenant of the church. See, a concubine is like a false believer. They're there and they're along for the ride and they're fake. They're not really born again. They've not gone through that covenant relationship of being born again into the family of God and becoming a child of God. They're here in the church. They're enjoying the blessings of being in a church. And they even think they're born again, but they're not. They're like a concubine. They're living in the church, but they're not of the church. A wife is of the church, figuratively speaking. There's a difference. And too many people deceive themselves by thinking that living together is enough. And the world has its opinions, and I really don't care what the world thinks about it. The Word of God's clear. A man is to leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain are to become one flesh. It is a cleaving and leaving. Whereas with a concubine, it's a leaving and potentially leaving. Because a concubine is not bound by the same covenants that a wife is. Now here in this case, David is going above and beyond the call of duty. He could have just simply turned these concubines out and said, okay, sorry, you're defiled, you're no longer wanted, leave. He was within his rights to do that because they were not his wives. They were his concubines. And, you know, these women agreed to do it. They weren't forced into being David's concubines. But I mean, a concubine of the king is well taken care of. And yes, there's risks involved, but these women were set for life. And as long as they pleased the king. But once Absalom had been with them, King David was not going to be with them again. The Bible says this. The Bible says that directly. It's not something I'm making up. Folk, we have subverted what God intended, and we try our best to find loopholes in God's perfect will. And people are content, it seems, to live in God's permissive will. And they do things and they say that God put them together and no such thing. God will never lead you to commit sin. The Holy Ghost of God will never direct you to commit sin. Mark my words. Mark my words. Now, folk, this has been a very difficult passage here for me, because there's so much more that could be said, but it's not suitable for being broadcast. Maybe one day, maybe we'll deal with the full depth of this in a podcast. But the Lord's going to have to specifically lead me that direction. This is something that is private. It is something that is not supposed to be spoken of openly. But it's something we need to think about as Christians. What is God's perfect will in the matter? What is God's perfect will? Oh my. You know, that's something that a lot of people take too lightly. They're more concerned with what they can get away with than in doing what God wants them to do to begin with. They're more concerned with how much can I get away with. You know, I've seen this happen. I've seen this happen with kids. I've been guilty of it. How much can I get away with? And that's not the right way to look at it. It's not how much can I get away with. It's how closely can I live the way God really wants me to live. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please email broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, that's broadcast@lamarowen.net. You can also email me at lamar.owen@wgcr.net. And join us here again next week for I Want to Know More.